I'm a part of the family of God. I trust you are too. Amen. We're going to be talking about something that we're already familiar with, and that is revival, and talking about maintaining revival. And I'm sure you how easy it's going to be. We're going to use the same verse that we used last week. Amen. So not last week, 2 weeks ago. Amen. Because Pastor Bennett preached last week. Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. And we talked about before the formula for revival. Now today we're going to be talking about the formula for maintaining revival. And you're going to find they're one in the same. Amen. Just a little tweaking here and there. Second Chronicles 7, and we're going to read verses 11 through 14. Again, God is speaking to Solomon here as Solomon has all the preparations for the temple prepared. They begin to sacrifice and offer things up to God. And God steps in and tells Solomon what he will do for him in verses 12, 13, and 14. Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verses 11 through 14. Everybody there, give a hearty amen.
Amen.
Any old me, say, preacher, give me one moment. I ain't got there yet. Amen. You got 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. You learn that Bible, that song, you can get that down. Amen. All right, going to have you read with me in verse, starting in verse 11 all the way down to verse 14. Here we go. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make it in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will hear their land. Amen. Talked about that last week. A formula for maintaining revival is much the same as the preparation of revival or getting revived. And we talked about the word revive means to restore, to bring back to life or consciousness. Revival then means a restoration to use or activity after a period of inactivity or non-use. And by the way, that is a moment-by-moment thing. You can be useful to God in one moment, and just like that, you can be non-useful because we fall into sin. And so we're going to talk about the formula for maintaining that revival. Amen. Father, bless now this morning's service. Lord, I pray that every heart, every mind would be attentive to the word of God. Lord, for those that are revived, we thank you. And we praise you that we have that revived spirit. We're full of your Holy Spirit. We're controlled and led by God. Lord, then for those that may have fallen into a situation, Lord, wanting to get that revival spirit back, I pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl, they might get that revival spirit back. Lord, for those that are revived, Lord, may we be constantly aware and cognizant of the fact that, Lord, because we're revived today doesn't mean we'll be revived tomorrow. Because we're feeling revival now doesn't mean we'll be revived the next hour or the next week. And Lord, it is a moment-by-moment thing, and we need to make sure that we take heed lest we fall. And Lord, whether we're needing revival or whether we're already revived, help us to be aware that you are the source of revival. It's not in a man. It's not in a message. It's in our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, maybe there's one coming today that has never experienced revival. They've never been born again. Oh, Lord, may they sense the awareness and the need that they need to get back to God. They need to confess their sins. They need to recognize their sin before you. And Lord, repent of that sin and turn and receive eternal life that's only in Jesus Christ. You said you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by you. Lord, restore today, and Lord, save today through repentance and revival. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Blessing the message and song, and blessing the children's area, Lord, that your word would come forth. And Lord, nothing would get in the way to hinder or harm our hearing of the word. And most importantly, putting that word into practice into our lives. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for this time. Bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Brad and Linda have got our special this morning. They'll come sing for us. Faithfulness. Amen. Has God been faithful to you this week? He is faithful. He's good all the time. We praise God for that. Amen. Well, Pastor Bennett, I was here last week, and if you were here on Monday, you know he talked about the heart condition of Jehu and how Jehu had been blessed by God, and then he stopped following with his whole heart and really didn't want the things that pertain to being a follower of God or a leader for God. And then on Tuesday, he talked about Psalm 119 and talked about the psalmist there. With my whole heart, he said, have I sought thee? Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments, there on Tuesday out of Psalm 119. Then on Wednesday, he talked about Peter's love and our love being tested. And Jesus asked Peter, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Amen. Whether these people or these fish or whatever. And our love was tested on Wednesday. And then Thursday, he asked a question out of Psalm 118. Who is the Lord to us? You know, who is he to us? You know, what does he mean to us? And he taught us a song out of Psalm 118, and what a blessing that was. And all in trying to get our hearts revived each and every night, whether it was one from our heart condition of Jehu or the heart condition of the psalmist, or Peter's heart being tested by his love, and then who the Lord is to us out of Psalm 118, was testing us in that regard. And from that time, many of us got revived in our spirit. But if you're anything like me, you're revived, you're excited about what God is doing, and then you do something that you ought not do. And that revival that you had just kind of seems to go like somebody poured a bucket of water on it, and it goes out, that fire goes out, amen? Don't fret, it is not long before you can rekindle that, amen, because revival is a moment-by-moment thing. It is not a continual thing. You're not always revived because we're sinners, but we're sinners saved by grace. Amen. But you can be revived and you can maintain a spirit of revival. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Many of us from last week went through the process of that. And so we understand that. Let me give you this. First of all, spiritual revival is marked by enlightenment. And what do you mean, preacher, enlightenment? We become aware of our alienation from God's will. The moment you sin, if you're saved, you sense an alienation from you and God. You sense a separation. And so revival brings that enlightenment that I'm not right with God. And I need to get right with God. And I want to be right with God. And so revival brings that enlightenment or that awareness that I'm alienated from God. But then also spiritual revival is marked by an enjoyment. We attend to God's will with joy. In other words, you get excited about doing what God wants you to do. Amen. You actually enjoy it. Amen. Hey, by the way, you enjoy coming to church. I enjoyed coming to church. Amen. If you're not revived, you know what you do? You just endure coming to church. Amen. If you're revived, you enjoy preaching. If you're not revived, you just endure preaching. Amen. If you're revived, amen, you enjoy serving God. You don't mind ushering. You don't mind keeping the nursery. You don't mind singing in the choir. You're actually enjoying that. If you're not revived, you just endure it. Amen. And by the way, folks can see it when it's on your face. The ushers come around the offering plate and they pass it down. You look like, or you reach reluctantly in your pocket and you put out two pennies. And you can see it on the usher's face too. The usher come by. Give a holy grunt. Take this. Give me some money. I mean, you can see that. Amen. Ushers should not take your money. Take your money. They're not going to take anything from you. Amen. Receive your money like this. Give me some money. They should be smiling. Just impartially looking ahead. Amen. They're not looking at what you're putting in the offering plate because they're not concerned about that. Amen. On occasion, they might peek. They hear a coin drop in there from a kid. Amen. But what am I saying? When you're spiritually revived, it's an enjoyment to serve God. You're actually excited about that. Amen. The psalmist in Psalm 119 was. The psalmist in 118 was. Peter was excited as well. But then Jesus called him on test to his love and said, Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And he had to come up with the answer in his own heart. And you have to ask that question as well. Do you love God more than anything else? Amen. And Peter had to answer that question. And so that's what we talked about last week. So spiritual revival is marked by enlightenment and enjoyment. Amen. And so we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And you come down here to verses 1 through 10. And the people were worshiping and they were giving sacrifices. And God was being glorified. The temple was already built in chapter 6. Some questions were being asked to God. And then here in chapter 7, starting in verse 11, some of those questions are being answered by God. Notice what it says in verse number 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, notice this, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. And that prayer was back in chapter 6. We're not going to go over that, but that was the prayer that Solomon gave to him. And so if we're going to be revived, and we saw that verse 14 is revival, how to get revived, then how do we stay revived? Amen. Good question. Amen. And it's going to be much the same way. Let me give you this first of all. The formula for maintaining revival continues with remembering the conditions for revival. Notice verse 14 starts off with that one word called what? If. If. The word if means in the event of or allowing that or on the assumption that. Notice verse 13. If I shut up the heaven, Solomon had asked God, if you do this, and if you do this, and if you do this, or I mean, if we do this, and if we do this, and if we do this, and you do this, and do this, will you do this? And God comes back and says, based upon some of the questions that you asked in chapter 6, Solomon, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. He said, look, the questions that you asked in chapter 6, I'm about to answer them. But he's saying this, there's some conditions to that. And so the word if, we have to remember the conditions for revival, amen. The word if normally carries with it the idea of conditions being met or possibilities existing if certain requirements are met or neglected. By the way, the moment we realize or know that we have sinned, we need to do something about it to stay revived. Amen. Hey, the moment a child figures out they disobeyed you, hey, they've got a choice to make. I'm either going to get right with mom and dad or I'm not going to get right with mom and dad. Amen. Hey, the moment we figure this out, then we've got to get right back and say, okay, God, I want to stay with you. Amen. This word if brings the awareness of a condition to me. Amen. G2 came to me yesterday and said, Dad, can I play this Wii game? And I said, if your piano is done and if your chores are done and if your bed is made up and if, and I went on, if, I said, then you can play Wii. But if it's not done, you're not playing. And if it's not done to daddy's standards, you're going to stop. And you're going to do it the way I said you're going to do it. Amen. So what happened? I gave him the if. Hey, if you do this and do this, guess what? You can do that. And G2 said, if I do this and do this, I can do that. Yes, if you do this and do this, you can have this. So he starts out with some good decisions. Remembering revival is going to continue if we remember the conditions for revival. It doesn't just automatically happen. I know we want to snap our finger and say, I want to be revived. I'm revived. Doesn't work that way. There's some conditions to be met, first of all, amen. I know G2 is thinking, yes, if I could just snap my finger and those chores get done, man, that'd be great, amen. If that was the case, I'd have snapped my finger and they'd have got done, amen. Well, they weren't. So conditions need to be met first. Amen. And then notice remembering the conditions for revival. Number one. Number two, the formula involves remembering we are the called to revival. Notice what it says in verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name. Amen. And so remembering that we are God's people called by his name. By the way, it's a special calling. It's a holy calling. It's a heavenly calling. Amen. We're called of God. Amen. And remember, hey, revival is going to come. We remember who has called us. And whose name we're called by. He said, my people, which are called by my name, this is a higher calling, a heavenly calling, a holy calling, a special calling. Aren't you glad we're not called unholy? Aren't you glad we're not called unrighteous or ungodly or unsaved? Aren't you glad we're not called heathen people? Aren't you glad that we're not called lost people? Amen. We're God's people called by his name. What am I saying? Revival continues. Remember who you are called by and whose name you have. We're not called unholy or unrighteous, ungodly or unsaved or heathen. We're called saved. We're called saints. We're called righteous. We're called holy, godly, spiritual, beloved, brethren, Christians. Amen. Hey, there's something special about being called by God and anointed with his name. Amen. Hey, when I married this beautiful lady right here, I said, now, you know, we got to go downtown. And we're going to go downtown. You're going to take that Davila off your name. And we're going to put a Dawson on your name. We're going to sign these papers. We're going to send those papers off to the state. Amen. And guess what? From this moment that we get married, you're going to be a Dawson. You're going to carry my name. Y'all looking like, I'll say, what's so special about that? Because it's my name, which means she's part of me and she's carrying my name. She represents me now. She's a Dawson. Amen. And forevermore until our eternity starts. Amen. Guess what? She's going to be a Dawson. Then she's going to be a child of God, too. And she's got my name. Guess what? She didn't do like this. I got to be a Dawson. Why can't I keep being a Davila? My daddy gave me Davila at birth. I want to keep being a Davila. Why can't I just be a Davila? Because you're my wife now. And with my wife, you get my name. And so not only are you going to be a Dawson, but we have a girl, she's going to be a Dawson. We have a boy, she's going to be a Dawson. Any other kids we have, they all going to be Dawsons. Amen. Why? They get my name. Amen. That's right. Now, she used the name Davila one time, Pastor White, when she got mad at me. And she used the name Davila. My name is Carmen Davila. And we struck the memory of that day from the records. Amen. She has never been upset with me again from that day forward. Amen. Hey, why? Hey, she's called by my name. Hey, he said, if my people, that's the conditions. Hey, but you're called by my name. Hey, you're a Christian. Hey, you're holy. Hey, you're a Christ one. Hey, you're mine. Praise God. Hey, folks, if we're going to stay revived and remember this thing, we've got to remember whose name we're called by and walk like we're called by him. Don't walk like the unholy. Don't walk like the heathen. Don't walk like the lost. Walk like a child of God. Amen. Hey, I tell my kids all the time, Dawsons don't do that. Dawsons don't act like that. Dawsons aren't slobs. Dawsons do this and Dawsons do that. Hey, who are you? I'm a Dawson. Amen. But you know what? We got a higher calling than Dawson. Guess what? I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. Amen. I'm a child that's called by God and called by his name. And if we're going to remember anything about being revived, we got to remember that we're called by his name. Amen. We're called saved, saints, righteous, and holy. Amen. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it says, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. In Romans 1:7, he says, beloved of God, called to be saints. In 1 Corinthians 1, 2, it says, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. 1 John 3, 1, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Hey, we're called Christians. We're called saints. We're called sons of God. Over in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11, it said, Jesus Christ, when he came on and took on the form of flesh, amen, which calls he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus calls us brothers. Praise God. Says he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Hallelujah. Hey, my wife's never been ashamed to carry my name. She's always held that name proudly. Why? She's my wife. Now, I may have made her ashamed. Amen. But she has never been ashamed of being a Dawson. And if we're going to stay revived, we've got to remember whose name we're called by and say, you know what? I've got a special name. I got a special calling. I'm God's chosen one. I'm called by his name. You know what that means? Then I've got to act like it. I've got to live like it. I can't just live like the world. I can't live like the unsaved. I can't live like the heathen. I can't shack up. I can't do these things. I can't drink up. I can't drug up. Amen. I can't mark up. Amen. I can't smoke up. Amen. I can't do any of these things. I'm called of the King. I got a higher calling. And I'm going to represent my name. Hey, what would Jesus do? Well, I'm Christ one. I'm Christ-like. And so I'm going to do it exactly what he did. What am I saying? Remember that we have a higher calling. Amen. My people, which are called by my name. He said, there's conditions to meet, but there's a calling on your life. Amen. There is somebody who you belong to. Remember, we're God's people called by his name. Psalm 103 says this way, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Notice this, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like being a child of God. I like being called a Christian. You got to be careful not because everybody say they're Christian now. We go door knocking. Hey, ma'am, sir, I'd like to invite you out to Shining Light Baptist Church. Oh, I'm a Christian already. And he asked him, well, can I ask you a quick question then? How'd you become a Christian? Oh, I joined the church. How'd you become a Christian? Well, you know, I got baptized. Well, how'd you become a Christian? Well, I spoke in tongues. How'd you become a Christian? Well, my daddy was a Christian. My daddy was a preacher. My daddy was a deacon. My parents were Christians. My mama taught Sunday school. My mom was a preacher. It matters not on your parentage or your heritage. What matters on who do you know in heaven? Yes, sir. Have you repented of your sins and trusted Christ? Amen. Hey, that makes a difference. It makes a difference. We're his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. Why? He's called us with a heavenly calling, a holy calling, a higher calling. We belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. My people, which are called by my name. We've got to remember that and keep that in mind. Hey, God's people don't do certain things. Amen. You go back to the Old Testament. They had all sorts of restrictions on their life. Aren't you glad you weren't back in the Old Testament? Man, you couldn't eat no seafood. I mean, no, okay, you could eat seafood. You couldn't eat no crabs. You couldn't eat no shrimp. You couldn't eat no lobster. You say, I don't like that. Anyway, I do. Amen. I would have made a bad Jew. I couldn't have no ham. There was no swine. No, there go my pig feet. There go my chitlins. There go my ham. There go my bacon. There go my ham hocks. I can't have none of that. I'm gone. I got no food. That's my whole diet right there. Amen. Brothers, I've been trying to eat secretly some shellfish. Amen. Hey, Red Lobster would be out of business. Hey, we're beloved. We're special to God. We're the called. We're called by his name. Hey, remember the Price is Right? And they would say, John Blow, come on down.
How many folks do you see doing this? You're the next contestant on Price is Right. What do those people do? Those folks say, they run down there. They stand on there. I get to go first. Why? Somebody called their name. Hey, we're called by God. We're called by God's name. Hey, we should have that same joy inwardly in our heart. Hey, knowing that God said, I've got some conditions and I've called you, you've got my name. And we should have a joy in our heart that does not match the world's joy. The world's got to have drugs. They've got to have drinks. They got to have smoke. They got to have all these other things, pleasures. Amen. All we got to have is Jesus. So all we got to have is Jesus. But let me tell you, my friend, you've got to have some repentance before you have Jesus. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? Remember, we're God's people. We're called by His name. The formula involves remembering the conditions, remembering we are the called. Amen. Hey, by the way, the devils know that you're called too. Did you know that? The devils know. When God saved you, God put a mark on you, and the devils know. Amen. And they will test you and try you. Amen. They will test you. Hey! People know that me and Carmen was married. Uh-huh. They see the ring on her finger. They know she's called a Dawson. And do you know men had the audacity to hit on this beautiful young lady? Oh my God. And if I was around, I'd have hit him with a bat. But I wasn't. That's good, Pastor. Had one low-down chump. She used to work at the BX. The low-down chump went and bought a card from the greeting card aisle, went through the aisle, paid for it, and then she rung it up. And then he turned around and gave the card to her, said, it's for you. I said, he lucky I wasn't in that line. I'd have kicked him in his bottom.
Yes, you would, Pastor. Amen.
Why? Hey, she belongs to me. Hey, don't you think God is even more possessive than I am as a husband with my wife, with his children? Amen. He loves us. Amen. And he does not want us flirting with the world. Why? We're called. Amen. Mark, how would you like if somebody came over to your newborn bride? Said, hey, honey, drop this chump. Come with me. He won a box. He waited a long time for you, sister. Amen. How much more do you think God is a jealous God? God is a possessive God. If we're called by His name, we belong to Him. Don't play tootsies and footsies with the world. Don't look like Him. Don't dress like Him. Don't smell like Him. Don't drink like Him. Don't cuss like Him. Don't cuss at all. Why? How many times you saw Jesus doing that? I rest my case. What am I saying? Hey, remembering that we are called by His name. Remembering that we're His people. How are you going to stay revived? Remember the conditions. Remember whose name you're called by. Number three, remember the cure for revival. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, amen, what's the cure for revival? There's some things that we have to do to remember this cure, amen. There's always going to be a continual cure for spiritual revival to continue, and it's spiritual repentance, and there's going to be some continually and daily and hourly and moment by moment. Preacher, why do I got to repent so much? Because we turn away from God so often.
Yes, sir, we do.
Amen. If you mark down how many times your children disobey you in one day, how many times you think you disobey God in 1 hour?
That's good, Pastor. That's good.
Lord, one half hour. By what we see, by what we hear, by what we think. Folks, our thoughts aren't always pure. That's why I say this cure, it's moment by moment. We've got to recognize, hey, I cannot maintain revival if I don't recognize there's some conditions. And also, I'm called by a God who loves me. But wait a minute, there's a cure for this thing.
Yes, sir, there is.
Amen. I don't know about you. I don't like being sick. I don't like being sick. But I have to remember something. There's a cure for most sicknesses and illnesses. Now, there's some that are incurable. But you know what? God can cure them all. But there's some that are curable. Sin is curable. Why? Jesus died for it on the cross. Every sin is curable. And so we got to remember the cure that's involved. And this formula for this cure, don't let your revivals go out because it's a moment-by-moment thing. Remember to keep abasing self. Notice what he says, if my people which are called by my name shall what? Humble of themselves. Remember to keep abasing self. Preacher, how am I going to do that? Paul had three basic words that you need to put in your vocabulary. I die daily. 1 Corinthians 15:31. Paul said, I die daily. He said, I put self to death so that I can do what God wants me to do. Hey, remembering I've got to keep this thing right. I've got to abase myself. I've got to humble myself, keeping a proper handle on self, staying crucified with Christ daily. Paul said, I die daily. Amen. Look yourself in the mirror and say, you're a dead man. You're a dead woman. You're a dead teenager. You're a dead single. Hey, you're a dead young person. Hey, you're a dead primary. You're a dead junior. Hey, if you don't crucify self, guess what? You're not going to stay revived. You're not going to stay revived. Because you're going to pick up and do what you want to do. And that's going to be vaulting yourself up. Like Satan. Satan said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will exalt my throne above this and that. I die daily. You got to look yourself in the mirror, and your death should be continually. It should be daily. It should be hourly. It should be moment by moment. Why? When you feel alive and in the flesh, guess what? Die. Say, preacher, how can I know that I'm in the flesh? When people get on your nerves, you know you're alive. If somebody got on your nerves this morning, you are alive. Because if you were dead, it wouldn't bother you none. Can I get amen? Well, they just didn't say it the right way. If you were dead, it wouldn't matter how they said it. Go out to the cemetery. It doesn't matter how you talk to them people. They're not going to respond. And if you were dead to self, guess what? It wouldn't matter what they said or what they didn't say. Wouldn't matter how they looked or how they didn't look. Wouldn't matter where they go or where they don't go. Wouldn't matter if they went or if they stayed. Amen. If you were dead, it wouldn't matter because it doesn't matter to you because you're dead.
Amen.
Paul said, the way that I'm successful, the way I maintain revival, I die daily.
Yes, sir.
Tell you, I love cartoons.
Amen.
And on occasion, you see Tom and Jerry.
Yes.
And Tom the cat has gotten the best of Jerry. And Jerry enlists the help of a dog. And the dog is coming to terrorize Tom. And Tom did what some of us should do. He dug his own grave. And he jumped in it. But guess what? When the dog didn't terrorize him, and when the dog didn't do something, Tom would open one eye, look around, see if the coast was clear. Then he'd open up the other eye. And no terrorizing. You know what he'd do? What a lot of us do. He got up out of the grave and started to terrorize Jerry again.
Yes, sir.
We do the same thing. We dig our grave. We get in there. We say, I'm dead to self. And then God says, do this. We say, well, I don't want to do that. Or go here. Well, I don't want to go there. Somebody says something. Well, you shouldn't have said that. Somebody says something over here. You shouldn't have said that. And before you know it, we're up out of the grave. We're the walking dead. You can't do that to me. I'm a Christian. You're supposed to be dead to sin, dead to self, alive unto God. Hear what I'm saying? Remember to die daily. Abasing self, putting yourself down low. You can't get any lower than the grave.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Can you?
That's, no.
Amen.
I don't think
the only thing past the grave is hell.
Yes, sir.
And if we're saved, we ain't going there.
That's right, Pastor.
That's why he said, I die daily. I crucify self daily, humbling myself. Go over to 1 Peter to show you what I'm talking about. Keep your finger there. We'll go right back. We looked at these verses last time. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And 1 Peter, I'm sorry, chapter number 5. And in 1 Peter chapter number 5, he says this in verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Why? For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to who? The humble. What did he say over there? My people is called by my name. Well, what? Humble themselves. Why? Because God's going to give you grace when you get humble. Amen. Great riches at Christ's expense, or God's ability to do what God's called you to do. Grace is God's energizing you to do what he wants you to do. Amen. But when you're lifting yourself up, guess what? You're walking in the flesh. You're walking in your own power. You can't do it. He says, kill yourself off. Humble yourself, get down, because if not, you're going to be getting out.
That's good.
Humble yourselves. And what did he say down there? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, God said, if you put yourself down, I'll pick you up. If you put yourself up, I'll put you down. And God has a way of putting you down a whole lot harder than you can put yourself down.
Amen.
Amen. And so he says, hey, look, all right, casting all your cares upon him. Why? He cares for you. Kill yourself off. Amen. What am I saying? Remember to keep abasing self. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. You know, in the classroom, I used to teach the teenagers. And it's a big deal from going from teenagers to little kids. Teenagers, it's like pulling teeth to get them to raise their hand.
Hey, amen.
You know, nobody wants to raise their hand because they don't want to be wrong. They want to look good in front of their peers. Am I right, teenagers? Yeah, they're shaking their head. They don't want to raise their hands. Why? Because if I get the answer wrong, everybody's going to look at me like, you bonehead, what's wrong with you? You got no sense. But the little kids, you ask the question, all the hands go up. Not only do all the hands go up, they go up like this. Ooh, 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 me. And sometimes they stand up. Ooh, 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 me. And you're thinking, And they're like, me. And wherever you go, you're like, You. And they say, well, what about me? Because you lifted yourself up. I got eyes. I can see. All you do is just stick it up like this. Amen. You had to jump up. Ooh, 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 ooh. Me. What do you say? Hey, if you exalt yourself, he'll put you down. And what is the teacher looking for? Oftentimes, the teacher will overlook that person that's standing up, me, to the one that's humbly sitting down, just raising their hand. God sees us. God knows us. And God knows what we need. God said, don't get up in my face with all this me. I know what you need. If you were dead, you wouldn't be like that anyway. God knows what we need. Now, am I saying that we don't beg and beseech God? I'm not saying at all. I'm saying it's how we do it. God sees us. And sometimes that fleshly teacher will overlook that student who's all up in their face because they're out of control, asking when they should be controlled, asking. We say, humble yourselves in the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. You know what I'm saying? Hey, that teacher says, if you just humble yourself and do what I'm asking you to do and sit in your seat and raise your hand, I'll pick you. But if you're going to be all like this, I'm not going to pick you. I'm going to overlook you. Why? I resist that. That he resisted the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. What am I saying here? The conditions for maintaining revival involves remembering the cure. Remember to keep abasing self. And then not only remember to keep abasing self, there's something else that goes along with this. Amen. Remember, by the way, the way up is down. Amen. Turn back to Second Chronicles, I'm sorry. In order to remember abasing self. Let's not make ourselves bigger than we actually are in the sight of God. But remember to keep asking for self. He says, if my people which are called by my name will what? Humble themselves and pray. Pray. David said it this way in Psalm 55:17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. We need to see our need to be and stay revived by just continuing to pray. Continue to pray. And not just pray anyway. Pray persistently. Pray constantly. Pray beggingly. Pray asking God to work. Let me show you an example of what I'm talking about. Go back to Luke. And Luke chapter 18. There is a woman here who's asking an unjust judge for something. And the unjust judge says, you know what? I don't fear God. But this woman is wearying me. Luke chapter number 18, and notice verse number 2. And Jesus is speaking on prayer. He says it this way in verse 1. He spake a parable unto them that to this end that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was a city, in a city a judge which feared not God nor regarded man. There was a widow in that city. She came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, notice this, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Jesus said this, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night? Who's the elect? Those that are called his people and called by his name. Shall he not avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Does God put up with us long? Yes, he does. Yes, does he bear us? Yes, he does, every day. And Jesus said, look at what this unjust judge said. He said, will God not do even more for you because you're his elect? Now there are going to be 1,000 kids flanking me and flocking me and asking me to give me something. But I'm only obligated to do for 3 of those. G2, Joshua, and Faith. Those are the ones I'm obligated. Why? They're my elect kids. They belong to me. And Jesus said, you know what? This guy can do more for his elect. We belong to him. Why? We're called by his name. We're his people. God's going to take care of us. We've got to remember that, hey, we've got to abase ourselves and ask. By the way, one of the greatest signs of humility is asking God. You know why a lot of people don't get saved? They don't want to ask God to save them. You know why a lot of people don't get saved? They don't want to admit to God they're a sinner. You know why a lot of people don't get saved? They don't come in and fall down and say, God, you're holy and I'm not. They want to be self-righteous and self-holy and self-vaunting themselves. Look at what I did. Look at me. God says, no, don't look at anything but the ground. Prostrate yourself because I'm a holy God. And a lot of people don't want to get saved because of pride. I don't want to ask God for anything. I'll work my way to salvation. Hey, you get somebody knock on your door? And they give you a Watchtower magazine? Or they want to give you a wake to Zion? Guess what? They're trying to work their way to heaven. And they figure if they can just get enough people, then I can get to heaven. Hey, by the way, you can't win enough people to get you to heaven. Because there's only one way to heaven, Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, what am I saying? Abasing self. Remembering to keep abasing ourselves, putting ourselves low. Remember to keep asking for self. Amen. Asking of God. We have continual access to God. No appointment necessary. Anytime, anywhere, any place for anyone called by his name. How would you feel if you were a king's child? I mean, you can just prance on into the throne room anytime you get good and ready. Hey, Dad. Everybody else got to call him sire. Majesty. But you can just walk in, hey, Dad, how you doing? All the dignified people, son, what are you doing? He's the king. He's my dad. He's my dad. He's my daddy. I don't call him king at home. I call him daddy. Hey, you got anytime, anywhere, any place, anyone called by his name, he's obligated to you. He's obligated, but he's your father if you're saved. But he says, one condition, you better abase yourself, better humble yourself, and then come and ask. Hey, how am I going to keep revived? Humble myself and ask. Keep it up. Keep it up. Hey, the preacher, but I'm revived. This is the way to stay revived. Amen. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee. Notice he said, I will answer thee. I will answer thee. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. Remember to keep abasing myself. Remember to keep asking for self. But then thirdly, remember to keep aligning myself. He says this, go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, remember to keep aligning myself to his face. The only way we can seek God's face is through his words. And guess what? Seek his face. There are a lot of faces that I want to see in the morning when I wake up. But the one closest to me is the one I married. And that's the face I want to see. Nothing worse than the face that you want to see and you can't see it. He says, seek my face. Ask yourself, in your heart of hearts, how much do you really want to see God? Because if you want to see him, you'll see him. How much do you really want to see him? He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, that means you really want to see him. Not his hand, but see his face. See the beauty of the Lord. John 12:21. There was a group of Greeks that came to the disciples. And it says this in John 12:21. The same came where therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Hey, they didn't want to see the apostles. They didn't want to see John the Baptist. They didn't want to see the Pharisees. They didn't want to see the Sadducees. They didn't want to see the scribes. They wanted to see Jesus, amen. Not a substitute. Hey, I know you're apostle. I know you work with him. I know you're around him. I know John the Baptist was the forerunner. Hey, but John the Baptist can't save me. Hey, apostles, you can't save me. Pharisees, scribes, and Sadducees, hey, you can't save me. But Jesus can save me. I want to see Jesus. I said, sirs, we would see Jesus. You got to want to see Jesus and seek his face. Seek his face. Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Am I saying? Remember to keep aligning myself. I've got to seek his face. And then once I remember to align myself and seek his face, it says, and turn from my wicked ways. By the way, if you're seeking his face, you're automatically turning from your wicked ways because there is no sin in my God. There is no sin in my Savior. So if you're already seeking his face, that means you have turned your back on your wicked ways. Back over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 55. Hey, we have to admit that when we stop facing God like we used to, we want to get back to facing God again. Why? He said, turn from their wicked ways when they seek my face. Isaiah 55. And notice what Isaiah has to say about our ways and God's ways. Isaiah 55 and verse number 6. He says this because we're talking about remembering to keep admitting to myself, I need to turn from my wicked ways, admit that I'm not facing God like I used to. For continual revival, we must be facing God and not our own wicked ways. To turn, you have to see a need to turn. Our ways are not God's ways. 55 and verse 6 says this, seek ye the Lord while he may be what? Found. Call ye upon him while he is where? Near. Let the who? Wicked forsake what? His way. And let the unrighteous man his what? Thoughts. And let him what? Return unto the Lord. And he will have what? Mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Notice this, for my thoughts are not whose? Your thoughts. Neither are what? Your ways what? My ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are what? My ways higher than what? Your ways, and my what? Thoughts than your what? Thoughts. He said, hey, look, turn from your wicked ways. If you're going to turn from your wicked ways, you better start seeking my face. And if you're seeking my face, you're going to turn from your wicked ways. Hey, there's no partial turning. How am I going to stay revived? Remember to keep abasing myself, humble myself. I keep asking for self and pray. I keep aligning myself, seek his face, but then admitting to self, turn from my wicked ways. I'm not where I used to be. Hey, folks, the first step in revival is admitting that you're not where you used to be. The first step in getting well is understanding that you're sick.
Yes, sir.
You don't want to admit that you're sick. Guess what? You're just going to keep going on.
Yes, sir.
But the minute you admit that, hey, I'm sick, you can get some healing. You can get some medicine. What am I saying here? The prophet said, hey, look, seek God's ways. Seek God's face. Amen. Turn from your wicked ways. One way, our way is the wrong way. God's way is the right way. Remember, a wicked is bad, evil, hurtful, naughty, mischievous, wrong. And God says in Leviticus 27, sanctify yourselves, therefore, be ye holy. Why? For I am holy. First Peter, he said it over again. For it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If we do that, go back to 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 7. Say, preacher, what do we have to do again to maintain this revival? Remember the conditions, if. Remember the, we are the called, my people which are called by my name. Remember the formula involves a cure. And that cure is abasing self, humble themselves. It involves asking for self, pray. It involves aligning of self, seek my face. It involves remembering to keep admitting to self, turn from my wicked ways. Then remembering the consequences of revival. Notice he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And by the way, God has no problem in humbling us. But he'd much rather you humble yourself. It's a funny thing that when God humbles you, some people actually mistake that for bad luck. Some people actually think that, you know, that was an accident. Then it occurs to you there is no luck with God and there are no accidents with God. And so sometimes when God has to humble people, they don't really equate it to God. It's chance or it's fate or it's karma or it's one of these things. No, it could be just God humbling you, but you fail to recognize that and to realize that. Amen. And so God's got to back you in the corner sometimes. And so it's better when you recognize it yourself and humble yourself.
Amen.
Because you know why it is you're being humbling, why you humble yourself. The consequences of revival. When true revival continues, good things continue to happen. He says down here, then will I hear from heaven. We continually get the attention of God. That's our desire. We want to get God's face. We want God to hear us and continue our revival. Psalm 17:6 says, I've called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me. Psalm 38:15, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. Amen. We continually get the attention of God, but also we get this. We get absolved of God. He said, and will forgive their sin. Absolve means to clear the guilt, to wipe away the consequences of a debt, to be sin free. So when you look at this, the consequences involve getting the attention of God. Then will I hear from heaven, God said. Getting absolved of God and will forgive their sin. There's many, many verses when we continue to seek God's face and continually turn from our wicked ways moment by moment. The favor of God manifests itself in forgiveness of sin because that's how we get restored. Say, preacher, how did we get unrevived? We turned away from God. Simple as that. We turned away from God. How does my child get out of fellowship with me? They stopped doing what I told them to do. And they get on my bad side. Say, preacher, you have a bad side? One of them's bad. Hey, how do we get out of fellowship with God? We don't do what God asks. Get on God's bad side. Says, God have a bad side? Yeah, it's the side that he has already died for. That's the sin side. But in him is no sin. And he can't be close to that. So you break the fellowship, not him. That's what we do when we turn to our wicked ways. So he says, turn from your wicked ways. Psalm 25:7 says, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Psalm 32:5, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Psalm 39:8, deliver me from all my transgressions. David said in Psalm 51:3, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I done this sin. 1 John 1:9 said that we confess our sins. What is he? Faithful and just. To forgive us what? Our sins. And to what? Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What is that? I haven't set my face to seek God. I've not turned from my wicked ways. And so I need to confess that I'm not doing that and abase myself and ask God to forgive me of my sins. He said, then when you turn from your wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sin. And only will we have attention of God and absolved of God, we'll have the action of God and we'll heal their land. Healing of our land will happen one sinner at a time as we get revived and stay revived and see the goodness of God and admit that we're not revived. You can't revive anyone that's not revived. You know what? You put two matches together unlit. They will not light each other. But you light one match, and guess what? The one match can sure light the other one. But you put two matches together, they're not going to do anything. What am I saying? You and I have to remember, we've got to stay revived. We can't revive anyone or encourage anyone if we're not on fire ourselves. If we're not revived ourselves, guess what? It's not going to do any good. How do I stay revived? Remember, there's a cure. My people, called by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. He said, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sin, and then will I hear their land. The goodness of God needs to be shown to a lost and dying world, and the healing of our land will happen as we stay revived and share Jesus with others one by one. Let's stay revived by remembering the conditions. Remember, we are the called. Remember, there's a cure. Remember, there's some consequences, good consequences. I don't know about you, but I want to stay revived. But you know what? I've got to admit that I'm not always revived. Say, but you're the pastor. You're supposed to always be revived. Ha, 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 ha. Very funny. I'm flesh just like your flesh. I struggle with sin just like you struggle with sin. I see things like you see things. I hear things like you hear things. And so I've got to recognize in myself, I'm not always revived. And the moment that I'm not, guess what? I have turned to my own wicked ways. And I've got to turn from my wicked ways and seek God's face. And I've got to abase myself in his sight. And I've got to ask for myself in his sight. Amen. Guess what? You can ask all day long for God to forgive me of my sins. But I've got to have God forgive me of my sins. Now, you can pray for me and ask God to convict my soul and to crush my heart. And he might. But guess what? Until I come to the acknowledge that I've offended God, I'm not turning towards God, I'm not seeking God's face, I don't abase myself, I don't ask for myself. Hey, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. I've got to call to be forgiveness. You can pray all day long, Lord, save him. Lord, help him. Lord, do this. Guess what? But it's got to come from me. It's got to come from you. Hey, if you're here today and you're not saved, you need to turn from your wicked ways. You need to see God high and lifted up. See his train filling the temple. See his holiness and see his righteousness and see that he hadn't called you yet, but he's calling you to be saved. And then he wants to save you from that place called hell. Hey, at the end of the day, there is still a place called hell that sinners go and pay for their sins. At the end of the day, every Jew that Solomon is speaking about had to call upon God for himself. There was no corporate salvation. Everybody had to get saved themselves. He can pray for the nation all he wants to. He can pray for the people all he wants to. But one by one, they need to come before God and do what God asked them to do. What am I saying? Staying revived, amen. I've got to remember their conditions. Remember, I'm the called. Remember, there's a cure. Remember, there's some consequences of continual revival. Good things happen when we give our lives over to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to stay revived. Amen. I don't want it to be just one day. I don't want it to be just 2 days. I don't want it to be 4 days of meetings. I want it to be a lifetime of continual renewal and revival. Renewal and revival, but it starts with repentance.
Yes, sir.
Recognizing that I'm not. And then trusting God to revive me. Hey, if you're here today and you're not saved, would you trust Christ as your Savior? Would you repent of your sins? Would you be born again? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Would you not give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, turning from sin and turning to God and say, God, I want to seek your face. I want to seek your salvation because you've got a Savior that you told me to seek. He's coming to seek and to save me who was lost. The Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Maybe that's you today. Christian, maybe you're already revived and you want to stay revived. Please stay. Maybe you're going back and forth. Hey, you know how to get it right. Stay revived. Stay revived. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Maybe God's spoken in your heart today. Say, preacher, I'm already revived. Maybe you need to come down to the old-fashioned altar and say, oh, God, help me not to forfeit my revival. Help me not to give it up, to give it over to someone else. Help me not to give it over to anger, to wrath, to bitterness, to unforgiveness. Help me not to give it over when someone does something. Help me to die daily to myself, to my wants, to my wishes, to my will. Lord, help me to do your will today. Or maybe you need to come down and say, Lord, I need to be saved, Lord. I need to be saved. Hey, the invitation is going to start in just a minute. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many across this room would say, I'm born again if I died right now, not by church membership or baptism, but because I repented of my sins and asked Jesus Christ to forgive me and save me, I know I'm saved. You'd raise your hand testifying to the goodness of God. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. You can raise that hand high up. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. Amen. You may put them down. I'm going to be honest to say, preacher, you know, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. But if I died right now, I don't have absolute 100% confidence that I would go to heaven. Would you remember me in your closing prayer? Pray for me. And you'd raise that hand. I'm not sure that heaven is my home. I'm concerned about it. But I'm not sure. You'd raise that hand. Amen. I see one hand. You may put it down. Is there another? You raise that hand saying, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm born again. If I died right now, I'm not sure heaven is my home. Would you pray for me? Man, woman, boy, or girl, you stick it up so I can see it. And I'll tell you, you can put it down. Anyone else, join this one saying, pray for me. Pray for me. Amen. And lastly, Christian, how about it? If you're honest with yourself, you would join me in saying it's a moment-by-moment thing with me. I'm up and down. One minute I'm revived, the next minute I'm not. One minute the children get me upset, the next minute I'm happy, the next minute I'm fretting over my job, the next minute I'm fretting over a sinner, the next minute I'm fretting over my neighbor or my coworker. It's up and down. The next minute I'm fretting over my bills. I'm not always revived. If we're honest, that's most of us. If the truth be known, all of our hands would have to go up. All of us are that way. Maybe you need to pray right where you're at, or maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I need help. Help me to abase myself. Help me to ask for myself. Help me to align myself with you. And help me to admit to myself that I'm not where I need to be. And help me to get back the revival fire. Father, you see the hands that have been raised. You know the hearts that are lifted up to you. Lord, there's one hand that went up. Lord, I pray that you would give that one the confidence and the boldness in your word to come down and ask you, Lord, to save them and forgive them of sin. And they would turn to you from sin that they might be gloriously saved. Lord, then for Christians, I know they're Christians struggling. They're up and down all over the place. And they have to go through periods of continued revival. But Lord, that's okay because you're a loving God. You're a merciful God. You're a forgiving God. And you said, if my people, as a condition, which are called by my name, where they're called, you said, if we would humble ourselves, abasing ourselves. And then, Lord, you said, if we would pray, ask for ourselves. And then, Lord, you said, we turn from our wicked ways. Lord, then you said you'd hear from heaven. Lord, many are here today admitting that they're in that position moment by moment. Lord, you gave us the assurance that you would give us attention. You'd hear from heaven. You'd absolve us of sin. You'd forgive our sin, heal our land, if we do what you ask us to do. Lord, many in here are up and down, working their hearts, help them to confess where they need to confess, help them maintain where they're maintaining, and help those that are lost, Lord, to be found in Christ today and receiving him for eternal life. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and blessing this invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are still bowed. Eyes are closed. No one looking around as the piano plays and as Brad sings. Maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe you need to do business with God and asking God to maintain your revival. Maybe you need to say, God, I'm going into a congregation of people tomorrow at my job. Maintain my revival amongst the heathen.
Child of weakness,
maybe you said, I'm going home to people that aren't saved. Lord, help me to maintain my revival. Maybe amongst relatives and friends. Lord, help me maintain my revival.
To him I owe.
He said, if there's some conditions. If you're saved, you're the call. My people, my name. So there's some cure.
Lord,
abasing self, humble themselves. Pray, asking for self. Aligning self, seek my face. Admitting to self, turn from wicked ways.
And melt the
consequences, you have the attention of God. You'll hear from heaven.
Jesus,
you have the absolving of God. Forgive your sin and heal your land. How about it? Do you need to be saved today? Do you need to be saved? Would you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be born again. If you're a man, we'll get a man to show you how you can be born again. If you're a woman, we'll get a woman to show you how. If you're a young person, we'll get someone to show you how to be saved today. But it's a choice you must make. One hand's already gone up. Is there another? You say, preacher, I need to be saved today. Why don't you come down? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved today. Much at stake here. Revival of your soul. And the revival of someone else's soul depends upon your soul being revived to ignite them and help them and encourage them. How about it? What do you think? Is there one? Maintaining revival is what we want to do. The question was asked about Peter's love. Lovest thou me more than these? Where's your love at today? The question was asked, who is the Lord to us? According to Psalm 118.
Jesus died, my soul to save.
The heart was tested.
My
Jehu did not want to do the things of God. Psalm 119's heart said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments, thy word. If I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee, where are you at today? Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it. White as snow. We'll sing one more stanza. You need to come.
Lord,
young person, how about you? Are you standing at school? Are you able to stand amongst your peers? Do they know that you're God's people? Called by God's name at school. How about it, teenager? Do they know you? They know you're a Christian? Juniors? Middlers? Do they know that you're a Christian? Are you standing for God? Speaking for him? Say, preacher, but I'm just a young person. I'm just a teenager. Teenagers need to turn to God too. Teenagers need to be saved. And people need to know that you're born again. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for being a God that loves us, Lord. And Lord, many are already revived, Lord. They just want to maintain the revival fires. Lord, as we follow this simple prescription, Lord, not only will it grant revival, but it will help us to maintain revival if we just take heed to what it says. Lord, help us to march out of here with the understanding that conditions have been met. And we are the called by your name. Lord, help us to walk out victorious that we have the name of Christ on us. We're Christians. Lord, help us to march out of here knowing there's a cure whenever we need. If we abase ourselves and align ourselves and ask for selves and admit to self, there is a cure. And the consequences that you will hear from heaven. Lord, help us to victoriously go forward from moment to moment, from day to day, from week to week, hour to hour, month to month, claiming revival because it's ours for the asking. And Lord, may there be a joyful noise in this house because Christians have done business with thee. Lord, for the one that still is struggling, hanging in the balance, Lord, show them how much you love them and how much you died to give them eternal life, how your blood was shed. Lord, help them not to leave until they get that thing settled today. Other decisions may need to be made. Lord, help each decision to be made in Jesus' name. Pastor White, would you come and close us in a word of prayer? Again, there are activities that